Yeah, I talked to her earlier today, and she was planning on it. This will be the minutes of our school board meeting on February 7th, 2007 at San Rafael Junior High School.
We'll begin our board meeting tonight. We have, we are at the San Rafael Junior High, and we have all our board members present, and Jared Black and Superintendent Fitzgerald are here. We will begin by having the Pledge of Allegiance, so if you'll stand.
Behind you. Yeah, well, the color guard.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you for doing that. Our first item on the agenda is our consent, the warrants, the minutes, the monthly financial report for January. Do you have any questions on those? I know that there's been a revised minute.
Yeah, there are a couple small revisions in the minutes from what was in the original packet. On the revised copy, there's a paragraph. Half of it is on the first page and half of it is on the second page. And it's just discussing our benefits consultant. And I added on the numbers, the proposals that the other companies had made for that.
Okay.
You know, exactly what the numbers were. So that is an addition there. And then on the fifth to last paragraph, it starts with Janine Warren reported on the status of the district child nutrition program. The last sentence has been changed to read, Mrs. Warren also gave some brief statistics about the current status of the district's nutrition program.
Okay.
Those are the two changes.
Well, I would make a motion that we accept them as we have just heard the correction.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, we have some personnel actions, new for approval, new employees.
Yeah, we have one educational assistant, Cleveland Elementary School, Kimberly Allred, under the special education program, 3 hours a day at Cleveland Elementary School. This is another special needs student. Those interviews were held, and Kimberly actually started a week ago Monday, but we do need to have that approved here in board meeting. So I'm recommending you approve that name.
I move that we accept that name.
Second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? We will go ahead with the consideration and approval of the water leases for 2007.
Okay, I gave each of you an updated copy from what was in your original packet also, because there was some information we didn't know at that time. So, to review where we're at, we have 34.45 shares with Cottonwood Creek, 500 with Huntington Cleveland, 34 with Farron, 21 with Green River, and 1 with the North Emory. And the shares with Cottonwood Creek, we have previously leased to Castledale City, which is 30 of those shares, and Orangeville City, which is 4.45. And I spoke with both cities, and they would like to continue as we have in the past, if the board would like to do that also. And the arrangement for these shares is that the cities pay the annual assessment on those shares. We still pay both cities full cost for our water use, but we don't have any fee for the assessment on those shares. For Huntington Cleveland, we have leased Huntington City 350 shares and Cleveland 150. Both of these cities pay or have paid $2 per share for those leases, and that is $1,000 in revenue. The annual assessment last year was $859.40, so it does cover that assessment. on the shares. It's likely to go up a little bit this year, but I wouldn't expect it to be more than $1,000. I don't know exactly what that would be. The 21 shares at Green River are used by the high school, so we don't do any lease arrangement with those. And the 34 shares, we did lease to Ferrin City again last year, and they would be interested in doing that again this year. And their rate for those shares has been $25 per share that they paid the district. And we do not have a lease for the North Emory share. And so I guess my recommendation would be if the board would like to continue with these to discuss any changes or anything you'd like me to pursue, I can do that. But to make a motion to allow me to sign lease agreements with these cities again.
How can we charge some cities and others we don't? I mean, I understand that they cover the cost of the assessment, but shouldn't we have something more uniform across the board? Or no?
I think one thing you have is that the shares in different irrigation companies are not all equal. As far as what water you get out of per share, they differ from creek to creek. And then, you know, we pretty well negotiate with each city on it, so okay. They are different, but yeah.
And
everybody's happy with it.
I don't know the history, but the assessment for Ferrin shares, which is 34, is $391. This is a lot more of an assessment per share than mm-hmm. you see with Huntington and Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
Them paying us $25. From what I understand, that's what they pay for all of their water lease shares. And you know, those are the arrangements Ralph has made in the past. If you want, I can look at making those more uniform. But I think the idea is to cover the assessment at least.
No, I'm just curious.
And that covers, 1391 covers the assessment?
It does.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have anything new on Ferrin City wanting to lease our backyard?
Oh, yeah, we have it about the ball, for a ball.
Nope, nothing yet.
That's kind of fizzled.
Comes and goes.
Okay. It'll happen again in
a second. Okay, yeah, when it comes to mind.
I think the last conversation we had, they were supposed to come up with some drawings and present and bring them to the board on how much property that would involve and what it would look like, and some agreements on, of course the agreement was that they would maintain them, but we have yet to see the drawings, so we don't go out looking for trouble, we just wait for it to come to us.
It will.
We did give them permission to put sand in the infield. That never did happen.
Okay.
So it's just kind of a standstill. Mm-hmm. What our custodians are thinking right now, and I agree with them, is that we'll just go ahead and reseed it
mm-hmm.
and get it working again, and so you know we can use it if we need to, and okay. they can plan on the way it is rather than be doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's just been such a hassle.
Yeah, it's kind of up in the air.
May I ask a question about the watershed?
Yes, sure.
If we needed to use those as a school, would that make a difference? I'm not exactly sure how that works.
Why would you need to use it?
Well, if we reseed that down there, would we need more water than what we're necessarily allowed by the city?
Depends on, I guess the city would have to tell you that. I can't imagine you wouldn't.
It's kept enough to cover that.
When it would be an advantage is probably on a water shortage year, when they're short on water and watering time. It might be an advantage then to have an extra share to increase the time that you can water. But I don't foresee that issue.
I think, yeah, but I think there's some leverage there, though, that if there is a time shortage, then the city would almost have to provide us more watering time, or we would take the shares back.
Yeah.
Of course, it would have to be after the current agreement ends, but we could do that. It might be bad for one part of 1 year, but...
Thank you.
And I'm wondering if we couldn't negotiate something with Capitol City and Orangeville to get some kind of a discount on the water that we use, since we're not charging them anything beyond their assessment fee. This says we pay both cities full cost for all the water that we use.
Is that amount?
Is that preliminary water?
Wonder.
You talking about?
Pardon? I'm not sure. I'd like to check though and see.
I believe it is. I was, you know, just going off the information Ross had from last year. And, you know, I can check with those cities, but the arrangement they've had for the last few years is just to pay the assessment. I can look at negotiating a discount if you'd like to. I wouldn't guarantee it.
I don't know if it would be out anything to try.
Yeah.
Does Cleveland pay the assessment or just Huntington City? Huntington.
We pay the assessment for all five shares. And they pay
$2 Huntington pays $2 per share, and Cleveland discounts the water charges to it.
Don't discount the water charges anymore. If that's in here, that's a.
Okay, that's still in mine.
Yeah, Cleveland does not discount our water charges anymore. And I think part of the reason they went to having Cleveland pay a couple of dollars per share a year or two ago was because we were never quite sure what the discount was. There was some ambiguity there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
How about if we look into it for another year
make a motion that we accept these as presented.
All in favor? Oh,
sorry. Would you just authorize me to sign
and
leases on behalf?
And authorize Jared to sign the lease.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay. We've got salary considerations for employee promotions.
Let me give you a little background. For classified employees, we have a little bit of a situation that has been with us for a number of years. When it comes to moving employees, when employees apply for positions that are considered promotions, and we look at the salaries, the beginning salaries of the grade and level of the, I hate to say higher position, but the position that's considered a promotion, many times it's lower than the salary they're on now. For example, you might have a lunch worker who's making a certain amount of let's say $12.50 an hour, been here 18 years making $12.50 an hour, and yet if they apply for a lunch manager job, which is a different grade, and you start them out at step one on that grade, the salary is only $11.99 an hour. They take a pay cut for a position that should be a promotion. The same with a custodian who moves to a maintenance position or to a head custodian position. They may, if they've been around for a number of years and moved from a regular custodian to a head custodian, they actually take a pay cut going to the new grade and level. And rather than go with giving them all of the years of experience in the district because they haven't been a head custodian and they need more experience there, what we have talked about in the office is proposing to the board that when you have that situation, that you look at their current salary level. So if the lunch worker is $12.50 an hour, and we hire them to be a lunch manager, and the beginning salary is only $11.99, we look on the steps to where their current salary is at about $12.50, and then move it up one step. Now, if that salary falls in between two steps, we would take the higher one and then move it up one step. That way they still have additional steps on the salary schedule that they can grow. They're not at the top, and yet it does give them a pay increase when they move from one to the other.
That makes sense.
I get in the packet that I gave it stapled together, there's a copy of the classified salary schedule, and if you need it to, we can take you through some examples of that. But that's basically it. For example, if you take a secretary in our school district that's on grade 7 and they've been here for 18 years or even 13 years at grade 7, it's $16.82 an hour, if I'm reading across it right. If they go to a grade 9 secretary, which our main secretaries in each of our school are grade 9, and they start at step one of that, it's $14.54. They actually take a $2.30 an hour cut. But if we were to look across there and we find $16.87, which is similar to what they're getting, and then just move them up one step to step six. No, I'm reading the wrong one.
No, you're right. It would be
$17.45. Yeah. So you go there and just move them up one step. I think we could solve a lot of problems if we were to create that as a practice in our school districts when we have what we call promotions. We had that with transportation this last go-around. Had we hired certain people who were working for us as transportation supervisors, they would have taken a huge cut in pay. It doesn't make sense. So as we discussed it in our office, we would like to make that proposal to the board that we establish that as a practice. We could put that in writing. I'm not sure if you want it in policy or just a written guideline that we use. Either way would work, but we would like the board a motion or at least the board's blessing to use that as administrative practice in our school district.
We won't need to make a motion until we see it.
Well, basically what I told you is what it is. That we would basically, it's what I put on there, is that, and on the bulletin I sent you, is that we would go to the grade where the new position is, go to where their salary would be, and if it's in between, move it to the higher one, and then move it one step higher. That's really all it is. It's very simple.
So could you add just that bottom part to your... where it applies in the
yeah, we don't have a
policy.
I'll take my blessing.
Yeah, do it however it will make it.
Is this a motion of approval that we that's how we would do it?
Could you make that, Marie?
Yeah.
I'll take it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Thank you.
Go to Principal Johnson for the principal report.
Well, thank you. Welcome to San Rafael. Good to see you once again. I always like to start with saying how grateful I am for the support of the school board and the district office.
I feel a lot of support there, not just just because, you know, maybe that's your duty, but really I feel some support and some strength from that.
I've had two parents this week say, if you don't get this taken care of, I'll take you to the school board. I never say it. But my thoughts are, okay. Because I feel such great support, I've never had to worry about that as a threat in my career. I appreciate that very much. I'm also grateful for my faculty and staff. This little handout is, I just went through and asked them how long you've been with us at San Rafael. And so in parentheses, that's the number of years that those people have worked for us. And you'll see a number of low numbers in there. We have actually quite a young staff, a reasonably young staff. We actually are on both ends, mostly. So we are some really good quality veteran teachers. And I'm really appreciative of the teaching staff and the teaching faculty and then the staff that's here at San Rafael. They do excellent work. Concerned about kids, concerned about learning and concerned about teaching, and I'm grateful for them, and they do a really good job. No complaints about that. We have two new teachers this year. We have Mr. Pitchford, who was a student here when I first arrived. He was a student, a ninth grader, and that made me feel just a little bit old. But that's the first one I've had come back like that, so I had a little moment of pity there for a minute. It's gone now. He's doing quite a good job. He's teaching our history and U.S. history and world geography. He's doing a good job. He's a new teacher. You can see that. But he's eager to learn, takes advice and constructive criticism well, and really quite pleased with his performance so far. Our other new teacher is in art. It's Kelly Nelson. And she has taught other places, but not for very many years. So essentially, she's a new teacher, a first-year teacher. We're fortunate that Mrs. Wine and she share a room, and Mrs. Nelson, though she's only five periods a day, she's here at the beginning of the day. And Mrs. Wine has been helping her along and giving her ideas, and that's been a very, very good blessing for us to have Mrs. Wine and her together there. Though it has maybe stressed Mrs. Warrington a little bit, but we appreciate her and what she does. Our recent teachers, also Mr. Carbine, Mr. Pitchforth, not Mr. Pitchforth, Mr. Robinson, and Mr. Gilbert have been with us 2 and 3 years, and they're the next youngest set, and it's nice to have some youth in the teaching staff. It makes a difference. Mm-hmm. The energy level is raised, and if there's some activities where we need some running and some out there performing with the kids, it's good to have some young legs to do that. So, anyway, we're grateful, and I can't say enough about my veteran teachers. They are quality teachers. Mm-hmm. They really are. Readers Club, those posters back there where you see all the numbers and lines, each of those vertical lines represents a student, and each square on that line represents a book that they've read. And then in order to get their name up there, they also have to pass the accelerated reader test for that book, meaning that they have to get 80% or better on the questions about that book. And our Readers Club is just going fantastic. An unusual practice that Diane does is she buys a number of copies of the same book, which you usually don't do in a library, but for the Readers Club, and to perpetuate that, then those Readers Club get first choices on those books and their new books and they're recently out, and that promotes reading. A lot of kids participate in that and they really enjoy it. We've had we had a turkey cask, and we've had one time, this most recent reward was if they had read 6 books by this time this year, they got to throw wet sponges at some of the teachers. So they really read quite a bit for that.
They like that one.
But the Readers Club is doing really well. When they get so many points for the number of books they read, Mr. Butler gives them one of these cards, and it allows them to go first to the front of the lunch line and to take 2 friends with them. And so that is, it's been wonderful, and they read well, and they're excited about it, and the only kids that don't like it are the ones who don't care to read, and they have the last lunch line. So we've got to work on that, but it's not bad. Honor Choir, I'd like to tell you just a little bit about Mr. Bonch's Honor Choir. 8 kids participated in that. Some of their comments were, that's the best experience I've ever had. They spend hours and hours for those 2 days rehearsing, and then do a performance in the evening, and never a concern about the hours or the time or things like that. Always plenty of chaperones, and always just excellent behavior from those kids. Mm-hmm. Mr. Boncher felt this time also that it was probably the best honor choir with the guest conductor that they have had over the years. And so it's really a high-quality organization. And he's just been extremely pleased and happy and very grateful to the board to allow those ninth graders to have that one overnight trip to participate. And they couldn't do that otherwise. Mm-hmm. And so we appreciate that, and it's a wonderful experience for the kids. It's not just a field trip. So. This Friday is our Valentine's Dance with Candy View. We appreciate that ongoing support. That has been very successful. Never any trouble with that dance, and four teachers from each school, and we usually have around 150, 200 kids participate in that dance together. And it's been a nice camaraderie for the 2 schools to get together like that. We appreciate that.
Where is the dance this year?
This is here in Fair. Mm-hmm. And that's nice to switch back and forth. New custodian, Julie Housekeeper. We hired her last spring when Mrs. Wallen left. And, she's just... wow. Our school has never looked better, and Mr. Justice has stepped up. He's excited to have her here, and she is constantly busy, just constantly doing something that needs to be done. She sees things that others don't, and we're just so pleased with her, and she really, really does an excellent job. The school, they did a little extra spit and polish tonight, but it always looks good. It always looks good. So we're grateful for her. The other last thing I want to talk to you about is that we do what's called a dog pound. A dog pound is a is a reward for good grades, good citizenship, service, extracurricular activities, and one more criteria. I've forgotten what that is. It's up there on my dog pound board. Anyway, there are five different criteria. And so sometimes just because you have good grades and good citizenship, you don't necessarily make the dog pound. We've added the service component and some extracurricular. So other times there are kids who do extracurricular, but they don't have the grades. So we've tried to mix and match that. They one at the end of the term, for about an hour and a half, we have a celebration for all the kids that make that. One of the things that they do is they'll project a video game on the wall in the gym. There was one where you had to dance, so there's two people side by side, and they had to dance in a portraying it up on the screen. The kids like it. They give away prizes. Anybody who's made the dog pound is eligible for whatever prizes they have. This next time, I think they're going to do a karaoke sing-along for the dog pound, and then whoever's the best singer gets the karaoke machine or something like that. I think that's what they have to do. But it's kind of a reward for all of those components, and it's been quite successful. The teachers have reported on it. But anyway, thank you for your support and for everything you do for us, and we appreciate it.
I had a couple of questions. How many of your students do the Reader's Club? Is it a pretty high percentage?
We have 250 kids at school. And so there are the first term, we had about 150 participating in that. The second term was a little less. At least at the party, they're still participating, but they didn't have all six books read at the end of the second term. So the numbers dropped down a little bit.
We have pretty good participation.
Yeah.
And then I wondered about, is it the reality there? Do you still have
that? Yeah, reality
challenge. Do you still do that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh. As a matter of fact, this year, it was interesting. We were calling around again, getting support for that, and the adults liked it so much that the support just comes like this. As a matter of fact, Mr. Christensen of Zion's Bank in Castle Bell had already ordered the fake checks for the next year, anticipating that we were going to need those again. And he comes and participates with that every year. So very successful. Very, very successful.
Well, we hear the rumblings out in the community of the good things that you're doing, and we appreciate that. There's lots of high-quality learning that goes on, and we appreciate your incentives and your enthusiasm, and pass that on to your staff.
I certainly will. They're the ones who do the
work.
Oh,
they do it. They do it very well. Okay, Superintendent next.
Okay, I know you're real excited about me reporting on the legislature.
Well, we have high hopes.
Yeah. And I'm not going to go through the whole list that I sent to you or the one that's on here. These are some of the key ones, key bills. But there's some that I do want to emphasize. And I'll just let you read. If you have questions on some of them, you can do that. But if you go down partway down my report to Staple Together, first of all, up to the top, I've got funding. There's a handout. If you go back three pages, it's actually the fourth page in the Staple Together pages. It says a brief report on today's Education Appropriations Subcommittee meeting. This was Monday. And there's some things here that are really concerning to me. This is the notes of our executive director who attended that meeting, and he indicated that this is the recommendation from the Education Appropriations Committee to the Executive Appropriations Committee, and this is education. If you look at number two, compensation for school districts, this is really concerning because of the talk of the WPU this year being at 9 or 10%. They're recommending 4% WPU. But then they're also earmarking a bunch of money, $2,500 ongoing for classroom teachers, counselors, library media, and school level administration. They're saying $2,500 pay increase for all of those positions. And then a one-time $1,000 bonus for classroom teachers only. Then they have what's called professional excellence, and this is a program from the State Board of Education that would work with leadership and also pay increases or salary increases for teachers who teach in critical shortage areas. and for attract and retain teachers. What you say, and he indicates, Senator Steele indicates that's an 8.2 WPU increase, but what you see lacking there is any compensation other than in the 4% for classified employees, mm-hmm. or for other supervisors and administrators, for speech and hearing people, for special education, and it goes on and on and on and on and on. When you look at a 4% WPU, you can always count on about 2.5%, 3% for insurance, and you can also count on another 1.5%, 2% for lane changes and steps. That's real concerning to me that the legislature feels the need to, or the Appropriations Committee, to earmark that money the officers of the Superintendent Association met with, and the School Board Association met with the Speaker of the House and the President of the Senate. They asked us the question about earmarking money, and basically our message to them was that they need to give us the WPU and let local boards mm-hmm. decide where that money should go.
Absolutely.
And regardless of what the State Board recommends or anyone else, we would prefer the earmarks not be there. But there's a definite message in that compensation recommendation there. And I think it's a bad message. And I won't go through all of the other recommendations. The bottom one is that they would restore the $2.5 million to the reading program that was taken out 2 years ago. But that's a concern. And we'll see how that comes out on the floor. I just handed you, that's not stapled there, an email that I sent to our legislators. This is a copy of a response I got from Brad King. He wanted to talk to me on the phone, and he hasn't called me yet. But I basically sent them an email that expressed concern about the compensation recommendation and the earmarks that are on there, and how difficult it is for us to function, particularly as it relates to the intent law for classified employees, and also the skyrocketing insurance, transportation, and energy costs, and also with the OPEB adjustments that we're looking at, and really that money ought to be, those earmarks ought to be removed, and the weighted pupil unit given to local boards to make those decisions. I also expressed concerns about Senate Bill 194, which is the one that would make your local school board elections partisan elections.
What's the logic behind that?
Well, the logic behind that with Senator Stevenson and a few others is that there are too many school board races in the state that go unopposed. And if you had it by political party, then each party would come up with a candidate to run against each other. My concerns about partisan politics in school boards is that it would place party platforms into the school
mm-hmm.
system.
Yeah.
And in areas where you had a high majority of one party over another, then all of your parents and students are not represented. And that if there's any place where politics should not play a part, it's in school board elections. School board should be elected to represent all people and not a political party or a political platform. Mike Dimitrich is one of the co-sponsors of that legislation, and I have a special note that I sent him there that while I respect his feeling, I feel strongly that partisan elections would not help kids in the long run. His response back to me was, I appreciate your input. It's always good to hear from you. That's a concern to me with elections, is that you get partisan politics involved instead of issues that are important to kids and to teachers and to the school system. So that particular bill right now, it passed the Senate committee and is on the Senate floor. Now they have talked about amending it to take local school boards out and and leave the state school board in, which I don't think would be a big issue even for the state Office of Education. I don't think they really care that much. But at a local level, it's not good. So I hope that happens. I hope that's amended. But so far, it did pass the Senate committee. Can't remember what the vote was, but it is in the Senate now being talked about. You know, you're probably all aware that the voucher bill passed by one vote in the House, and it will pass the Senate, so you will have a voucher. However, I think it will be challenged in court. I think that the constitutionality will be challenged, and so I guess we're yet to see where that ends. The claim is that education will be held harmless for the first 5 years, and beyond that, it will start eat into education dollars. Well, I certainly don't think it's going to accomplish what they want it to accomplish, and it is a use of tax dollars for private education. But it did pass by one vote. I happened to be in the Castle building while that debate was taking place and when the vote took place, and it was pretty tense. As the votes came in and it ended 37, 38, 37, those legislators, those representatives had, I think it was like 1 minute to change any of their votes, and we could just sit and held our breath, but nobody changed their vote, so it passed the House by one vote, and it will pass the Senate, there's no question. If it didn't today, it will soon. House Bill 149, class size reduction. While this one sounds good on the surface, there are some concerns with it. Basically, it places a cap of 20 students per class in grades K through 3. The new amendment to that I saw today encourages 20, but places the cap at 24. The only problem with that is that if you hit 25, you would have to split a class, hire a new teacher, and have 12 and 13, and there's no additional money being allocated for that increase in staffing, nor is there any money for schools that don't have classroom space for those students. So we need to watch that one. While the idea is excellent, there are some concerns. House Bill 193 requires districts to spend at least 65% of its general fund expenditures on instruction. That passed committee and is in the House. It's in the House committee right now. And I did give you a handout. I think it's the last page of those stapled together. This is basically coming from the CEO of Overstock.com. As you're aware, he's a native Utahan, Patrick Brian, being pursued in several states. Right now in Utah, most school districts spend at least around 70-71% of the funds on directly on instruction, but it all depends on your definition of instruction. And the narrow definition that he tends to want to use and that the legislature uses is very biased against rural school districts because of the increased cost in those districts because of transportation, population densities, geographic regions, and if you get into areas like San Juan, the cost of air conditioning and utilities. And those things are not included in the definition of instruction, anything related to your buildings. So those districts probably spend less than 65% because of their where they're at, their enrollments. I didn't have time to find out exactly by their definition where we're at. We're probably in the 70 to 75% area, but it depends on what their final definition would be of instruction. And things like that are a little bit dangerous too, because it does not include counseling, special education, speech pathology, instruction and curriculum development, library media, student transportation, and all of those things that go into M&O money. So that's one you need to watch too. On the second page, school board member compensation. Believe it or not, the legislature is considering allowing local school boards to set their own compensation. The only thing that would require is that you would hold a public hearing to do that. There's not too many boards in the state that are there because of the money, and not too many that are interested in being there because of the money. They're there because they want to serve the kids. But the legislature, there is a bill that would, with a public hearing, would allow local boards to set their own compensation. You don't have to do anything to leave it where it's at, but if you want to raise it, you'd have to have a public hearing. House Bill 260, post-retirement employment. And I don't want to dwell on the negative, but that's the ones that concern me the most. With the teacher shortage in the state of Utah, this is not a timely bill. Right now, under state retirement, if an employee retires, you can re-employ them on a part-time basis for 6 months and then back to full-time status. In many districts, unless they leave your school district, then there's no penalty. But this bill basically would say that your state retirement allowance would be canceled if you are re-employed on any basis by the same agency within a year. And so not even part-time. Right now it's 6 months. And that actually passed the House and is going to the Senate. And it's going to make it real difficult in the state of Utah with teacher shortage, critical teacher shortage. We're at a critical stage now. It's not just coming, it's here. It's going to make it really difficult. I don't know if you have questions on some of these others. Optional extended day kindergarten, $7.5 million. I didn't even see that on the education appropriations list, so I don't know where that will go. There is Senate Bill 57 that would allow a student who passes the UBISCIT and scores in the top 15% of ACT to get a high school diploma, whether or not they are in your high school or in a home school. And Senate Bill 81 would allow homeschool students to participate in extracurricular activities at their neighbor's high school while attending homeschool. And, of course, Senate Bill 194 is the partisan election for board positions. That's just a few of the 100 and some education bills that are up there. These are some of the ones, I think, that are still on the radar screen that we really need to watch. And unfortunately, most bills that are introduced to the legislature are not there because they want to help. They're there because somebody has a problem or a complaint and they want to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
But just be aware of what's going on. And if you get on the State Office of Education website and click on the legislature, you can find a tracking sheet, and it gives you summaries of all the bills and the status of those bills and who's supporting them and who's opposing them. And I'll try to send you one of those on the next few weeks so you can get on there and look. But it's going crazy up there. I'll be up there tomorrow night meeting with our legislators face-to-face, and then on Friday at the legislature again and talking with other colleagues and trying to do some lobbying on some of this. But it's exciting times. And that's what I wanted to report tonight, was mostly what the legislature is doing and where we're at with that. So that's all I have.
Okay, thank you. Now we'll Jared's turn. Does this administrator report?
Yes, I just wanted to update you really quickly on a couple of the things that we had going on from last month. And the first one is our classification studies, and we've been working on putting together a list of all of our positions, and it kind of sounds mundane, but it's probably the most important part of the whole thing, so that we know exactly what our positions are. We've had some conversations within the business office and also with superintendent, and Jed and JJ will be in on that soon, so we're working on that. Once that's done, we can set up the rotation and get going full board on that. Last month, we talked about Intermountain Financial Benefits as our consultant, and we have signed a contract with them, and we have started meeting with them. We have several things that we want to start up right away. We had a kickoff meeting last week, and we're ready to go with them, so just wanted to let you know that. And then also with Mr. Bartholomew that you had approved as our OPEP consultant. We've been meeting more frequently with our OPEB committee, and we're getting to the point where we will start talking with him as we get a better idea of our plans. And so he's also on board. We haven't signed a contract with him yet, but we will as soon as we need to use that service. And those are the only things I wanted to report on. If you're interested, I'm sure Leroy could update us on the building down in Green River again.
Yeah, he's on the other, and that's next, so go ahead.
No, another?
Your other. Okay, are you too dead? I'm
I
sorry.
Am.
Okay.
Well, he's preparing to come up here. I just want to thank him and his crew for taking such good care of us this morning. I think you've had pretty much full-time job keeping our school running.
They are tremendous.
Then
we
can
go home now,
Leroy,
after that.
The report on the Greener job down there is going real good now that the weather breaks around a little bit. I would say that within about a week and a half, all of the block will be laid. They've put structural steel over the shower area, so we can have a mezzanine up there for our handling units and our heating units. That will be poured next week. They're putting the structural steel up now. It'll be completed this week. A week and a half from now, when the bricklayer leaves, they'll start setting the structural steel for the roof and get ready for the roofing. So it's progressing real well right now. We have a real good contractor down there and easy to work with and willing to listen to anything we might suggest. So that's pretty much the report for down there.
And any other?
We have one brief executive session, personnel
okay.
Issue with them.
Thank you. You have what? Okay.
You want up there?
Yeah, we
cool.
Yeah,
that'd be
we
great.
Do have another other.
My other other?
Yeah, you're the other other.
Another other man.
Feel good.
He came on his toes.
Yesterday afternoon, we had a meeting with the swimming committee. Kind of like all educators on there, but we're really not there because we're educators. I represent the district. You know, Peacock represents the city of Castledale as mayor. County Commissioner Drew Sifford is the person who's directly over the pool and pushing it very hard. His secretary, Leslie. Who else was there? Bob, and what is Bob's last name?
Bennett.
I say Bob the Builder.
Bennett.
And Kathy was there from the paper. This is in his van. And, what's his name? On the left, if you ever want him. So, Mr. Jensen, our former
building
administrator.
Yeah.
These are all there along with the architect and the architect specialist on swimming pools. This is a rough first drawing by hand of what the architect is proposing. Looking at this diagram, you will see the parking lot, which we have graciously donated money for. That's about 100 to 120 stalls. It will be changed and taking out the large island because we don't want to have to worry about landscaping and taking care of that stuff. So that will be changed. The entrance to the pool will be along wherever that road is, 6 north, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
8 north comes down and you can see it across the top and we're not sure what will happen at that point in time. But that will be drawn in. And then there will also be an access service road that will come behind the pool and down to the outdoor end of the pool. So that's kind of the rough design. Looking at the big design, the interior. Interior design includes a number of things, restrooms and dressing area for women, for men on both sides, a family dressing area where a mother can take a small boy, a husband or a father can take a small daughter, and a family type of atmosphere and help rest, and that would be separated. They'll have little areas in that. There'll be a reception area in the front, so the person can take tickets and a little office there for them. They will also be able to sell some concessions out of there and different things, make a little extra money. They place for a guard, first aid station, and then they have built in the very corner, you will see a party room. It will be glass looking out into the pool, but people then can come and rent and host a party for their children. Mm. We can use it as a school for a lesson teaching for the swim team. They can go in there for instructions, etc. The shower.
How big is that? Do you know that party room?
I do not. That's an eighth of an inch per foot. It is a pretty good size.
Okay.
There will not be any kitchen stuff like that. We don't want any of that in that area. But we'll be a pretty good size there. Suggestion was made, the shower, which is on the outside, which is just a pole standing up with four shower heads on, that will be moved some other place in the area. Because of the Todd discussion yesterday, we would like that available for barbecue area, so that we can set barbecues outside if wanted and needed by whoever would like to do that. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Pool deck would be very large. Also, I just should say this viewing lobby, that would be a large sheet of glass and window. So that if, excuse me ladies, you come in there with your fresh perms and stuff and don't want to be out in the humidity of the pool, you can stand back and watch behind that viewing area.
It's not everything, okay. Isn't it?
So that is there. So that would be enclosed with doors so that the high humidity from the pool does not come in. You could also go out onto the pool deck. Surface of the pool deck and all that would be a swirled concrete with coloring. Drew said some of the ones he had seen is red and green and different colors. He said it was very, very nice. He would like our suggestion on maybe doing Emory High colors in there since we would be using it for a swim area. No problem with the colors. He's leaving kind of that to our suggestion to have some input. So we can do grays, golds, blacks, kind of a shading of that area. That would also extend out into the pool deck and it would be the same kind of surface. Low maintenance, easy to take care of, etc. Across the pool, in front of the pool equipment area, would be some concrete bleachers. It would just be poured concrete, nothing comfortable or anything, but something to easily maintain. The pool itself, we are still talking total dimensions on that. Suggestions from the High School Activities Association, the National and the Swimming Pool, says it would be either a 75-foot pool or a 25-meter pool. That's a difference of 7-point-some-odd feet, 25 meters being longer. At this time, I was trying to get a hold of the High School Activities Association there. I did talk with Dave Wilkie, who was over swimming in the state of Utah for High School Activities Association. He was going to check and give me some guidance from the people who run their swim meets. Mr. Peacock called his cousin in Orem, who's Orem High's swim coach and athletic director, also ran the 3A swim meet this year. His recommendation is that's a 75-foot pool, 4-foot minimum depth, and 12 feet deep in the deep end. Okay. The width of the pool that they are proposing, I think, is 46 feet wide, which would be 6 lanes, which is adequate for any competition. The county will support our recommendation. Whatever we feel we would like to have, they will support.
Okay.
That was made very clear yesterday. The small areas, we're saying it would be 4 feet minimum. That's long, that'll probably be our recommendation. And the 12 feet will kind of depend upon whether we put in a diving board. We all felt yesterday we would like to have a diving board. It was pointed out to us that maybe the liability insurance for the county would rise because of the liability in having a diving board in the swimming pool. If they put a diving board in, it would also raise the ceilings. The regulations state it must be 16 feet above the height of the diving board, the ceiling clearance. So that may necessitate raising the building.
How high is the diving board? 50?
1 meter.
It's just a low diving board.
Yeah. Just a 1 meter board is all it would be. It could even be a board that slides out over the pool and in competition comes up.
Okay.
So the pool is completely clear. Drew has seen some of those and liked that idea. We're not sure where that will go. Those are discussion items. Since it's very deep and for winter use, this small area here that looks kind of strange on the side of the pool is a one step down and then a landing so mothers could take small toddlers and they could splash in that area, they could sit on the step, play with the kids, then there would be another step down into the 4-foot area. Okay? So we're trying to accommodate as much as we can. South side, looking out into the outside pool, would be a lot of glass, so we could take advantage of the solar as well as the view and looking outside, so view of the place in and out. Questions on the inside pool. It would be accommodate, it is by square footage of the surface area, it would accommodate about 175 people in the pool at one time.
You'd have to be standing shoulder to shoulder. Not
according to health codes, that is what it would accommodate, so you're aware of that. All there is would be a height or a handicap lift to allow handicapped people in wheelchairs to come over and be put into the water in a lift. One of those would be required, and that's why Julie Huntington is on our team to help with make sure all handicap access is okay. What else did I miss? We will wire it for all starting, all electronics, for our gates, for scoreboards. That will all be done. We don't know whether we'll have the money to put them in, but that should be added at a later time. Everything will be put into place. The other thing, it will be a flat pool. In other words, you're going to walk out and it drops straight down and the water is at floor height. There's nothing between the floor and the water. And there will be a splash guard that comes over. And we are also looking at a Mylar covering for the pool, or not covering, a pool. They are saying that concrete and plaster, the warranty is 1 year. If we go with a stainless steel, it's a stainless steel sheet with a polyurethane membrane attached permanently to it. And the polyurethane bottom of the pool is actually set on a cushion. When you walk on it, there's give in it. It will be able to move, and I think for our blue shell especially, that would be helpful. We're looking at that. That's more expensive, but there's a 15-year warranty on it.
Mm-hmm.
So much, much better. So we're looking at that part. I think that's all I got from inside. Outside. Pool would be a zero, start at zero, and go down to a maximum of 3 feet 6 inches. The drawing was for 4,000 square feet. We upped it to 5,000 square feet last night. That would accommodate 200 to 250 people out in that area. So it would be very nice. From around here, around to here, with all these new entrants, we will have some handicapped ramp on this side, and this side probably a lift because of the 5,000 square feet that has to have two accesses for handicapped. Toys inside the pool, there will probably be some bubblers and jets shooting up just inside the pool. The large strange looking thing in the center of the pool is a toy, and I have some, these are Clearfield pools, but these are all different versions of it, so you'll just have to share and pass around if you don't like them. Pictures of different things. There would be one large toy there. The water is coming down and spraying at all times. Kids can climb on it, have as much fun as they want to. Just enjoy that. The other one was, the other strange object off the side is a slide. The slide would be around 15 to 20 feet in height and would come down into a 3-foot 6-inch depth pool, which is fine. There's no problem with clearance on that. The third thing we talked about yesterday was a bubble. I got to get the right name for this. Anyway, it's a bubble pool or something like that. It's a large circular kind of area, and you'll see one similar to in the pictures that shoots jets out, very similar to a hot tub, would have a concrete seat around, but it's not hot water. It's just water a little higher in temperature than the pool is, where mothers or adults think it's set in that area and watch their small children as they're playing so they can enjoy the pool outside also. There would be a small locker room, and not really locker room, but just lockers where people could put valuables and lock them up while they're in the pool outside and also some restrooms outside. Project total, as I seen numbers yesterday, was $5 million. Just a little over $5 million for the total project. Projected.
Wind Hall projections,
though, don't we? Yeah, Wind Hall projections, yeah.
We have
another meeting scheduled for the 1st of March with the architect to see some more detailed plans with the things we put back again the other day. So if you have any suggestions, please let me know. You can call me and tell me tonight, and I will pass those on. About 200, and let me tell you what they were. My notes. With today's numbers, the gentleman said that it is 1 to 10 square feet, so one person for every 10 square feet. So if we get 5,000, that would actually be 500 people. He said the new guidelines that will be down within a couple years would double that, so you're looking at at least 250 people minimum, even with the new guidelines. Did I miss anything else? Oh, this is an interesting figure. To add a diving board with the changes to accommodate it, $140,000 to $150,000 added to the price of the pool.
And
what
has to change too?
You have to go from a 9 to 12. Because of the depth of the pool and the pressure by that water going out, plus the raising the pool to 16 feet. It does charge, but we're willing to do that because we think that will attract the older teenager crowd more in the winter months. That and the slide outside in the summer will get that to the kids to use the pool.
Mm-hmm.
There was, and this is the final comment, some talk afterwards with Drew and I were talking to some of the others. We do own the land, some more land around us, so possibly looking down the road of making a park out of that. We have tables and picnic areas and slides and making it a very nice community area.
That would be nice.
So, something for you to think about that you may be asked in the future about.
Okay.
I told him I didn't think you'd be too objectionable.
Well, thank you for
coming
in. Thanks for representing us there. Appreciate that.
According to the
number.
Schedule, JJ, when are we going to break ground?
If Drew had his way, it would be in March.
Okay.
Architect is probably looking final drawings in April. We are hoping to have it there, probably go out to bid then. Completion, I'm guessing, 1st of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So right around December, we would be able to use the facility.
Okay.
And I would check with Patsy to make sure I didn't say anything. She didn't have to tell me. I think I'm pretty accurate for you. So.
Okay. Any other?
I know you get it.
We have some personnel items for executive session. So, most moves in order to.
So move that we adjourn to executive session.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you all for coming.